Okay. Genesis.
Sorry. Amen.
Sorry. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Just a time in your presence with your people to get a eternal view of this and how important it is to you. And even in the songs, how you continue to love us and continue to go after us, continue to seek us, to search us out. And the stars, you know, we are more than all the stars in the heaven. His thoughts for us are more than the sands of the sea. And we learned this week that the sand is this earth, and the stars are the heavens, and we are more greater than both, all that is created in the heaven and all things that are created in the earth. His love for us, we praise you and we thank you for this time, this morning, in Jesus' name. I want you to think this morning how God draws us and continues to go after us, a constantly looking for us, a constantly going after us, a constantly seeking us, a constant drawing of us. And it's all because of this love. And even when we were without Christ, even when we were in our own sins, he continued to do it. He continued to seek us. And, you know, I think of, and by the way, we're in Genesis chapter 3. I think of John the Baptist. He's preaching a message of repentance. And that was his message. Repent and turn to God because he loves you and he's there for you and he'll forgive you if you would just turn to him. And he's seeking you. And as he's speaking these words in John 1:29, Jesus is coming towards him. Jesus is coming towards him. And he says in 1:29 of John, behold. And it means, I am in amazement of this time. This time right now, I am in complete amazing. Behold, the Lamb of God. Look. Look, behold, the Lamb of God. He's coming. He says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is coming towards us, is drawing towards you, is drawing towards me. And really, John saw in future time, he saw in future time, he's, behold, the Lamb of God. He calls him the Lamb of God. And this Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the earth in Revelations 13:8 was drawing near. And he'll always draw near to you. And wherever you're at in your life, he's drawing you. And he uses many ways to do this. You know, he came in Luke 19:10 to seek and save that which was lost. He came to seek out his creation of the ones he loves more than all the stars and all the sand. And I just want to think about that today. And how John got this amazing revelation as Christ drew near to him. And think of the ways that he uses to draw us. Think of the ways and think of the things that happen in our lives that we would come to him. Some of them not so good, maybe. And he still used that. And situations in our life now that we look around and say, wow, this is all evil. And he uses that. God can use evil. God will use every circumstance to get your attention, to get you to focus upon him. In In Genesis chapter 2, God is speaking to Adam. And it's and before that, he says, out of the ground the Lord made every tree. And all these trees God made, and all the fruits of those trees were good. And the tree of life was there, but there was also another tree, a tree of good and knowledge, or good and evil. A tree of good and evil. And some partake of the tree of evil, some partake of the tree of good, some partake of both. And we keep going to that tree. We're always going to the world's tree. That's the world's tree. And this is why God said, don't partake of it. For the day that you will partake of it, which meaning you will, your eyes will be open. But he said also that you will surely die. You will surely die. And he told that to Adam before Eve. And it's funny, in Genesis 3, Satan is now dealing with Eve. And he, the first question ever is from the devil. The first question ever is from the devil. He said, did God really say? Did God really say that? Did God really save you? Did God really tell you he loves you? Did God really tell you you're forgiven? And these questions always will be presented by the enemy. Did really God say this? Or do you have it a little wrong? Did he really say that you will die? And remember, God was not speaking at that time of a physical death, but he was speaking of a spiritual death. And when we have a spiritual death, there's always that spiritual substitute. And that would be Christ, because there was no man in Isaiah 59. No man could fill that gap. So God says, I got to come myself. I will enter into the world system and become as one of them, because I have to seek them, because I have to go after them. And many of them are controlled by this tree of good and evil, and most from the evil side, because there's evil in the world, and evil is present, and evil is all around us. But there's still the light that came from his son. So he imposes this question to Eve, and Eve partakes, and Eve gives to her husband. And then the real question, the real first question, I believe, it wasn't the enemy, because that was being all twisted. But the real question wasn't even from Adam or Eve. Like, why did we do this? How did we get to this point? What happened? Why did this take place? Why is that taking place? They could have thousands of questions, but that's not the first question. The first question is from God. And the first question is, where are you? In 3, where are you? And that question can always even be presented to us now. Where are you? Where are you with your relationship to God? Where are you in your walk? What are your goals? Do you have other goals or plans or ideas that are even more important than you? I mean, where are you? And it's like, even who are you? You know, not what have you done yet, but where are you? Where are you? And this isn't a question where God didn't know where he was. Oh, I don't see them. I don't know where they're at. And I can hear Adam, Eve, stay down. Stay low, man. We got a great spot here. God can't see us. God doesn't know. But that wasn't it at all. It was for us to know, do you know where you're at now? Because it said when they partake that their eyes were open, and they said they were naked and their eyes were open. And this is what they told even God. And God said, who told you that? Who said that? Remember, whatever condition they were in, God was still there, available, and because he was in the same place that he was every day, where he met with Adam and Eve to teach them. And God was in that same spot, but they weren't there. When our eyes are open, we remove ourselves from the presence of God. God is there and we move away. And we sow fig leaves. And if you look at that, it says, we sow ourselves in a little apron, a little covering. Oh, this is good. This will cover me. This is sufficient. No, because it was the covering made from yourself. We can't cover ourselves. We can't cover our own sin or our own past. And then evil comes in. Evil being in this surrounding as we continue to partake of that tree. And all these things are happening in life. And we wonder why or where is God and how did this come to place? Just a little side thing. And this is, you know, something maybe to think about. Something to study and to look about at. Maybe the first sin wasn't Eve partaking. Maybe that wasn't the first sin. Maybe the first sin is they didn't go to the tree of life. You know, just something to think about. Because look at this. Let me read you a verse. Look at 3:22. And this is where man, Adam and Eve, would be removed from this amazing garden that they were put into. And it says, and the Lord said, behold, man has become of one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. We got to get him out of here. So that free volition was still to be able to partake of the tree of life. So maybe that was the first thing that they didn't, because that tree was there too. And God never said, don't go to the tree of life. He said, don't go to the tree of good and evil. Just something interesting, something to think about. Man has a volition to choose to what to do and what to go to, and that will always go in. So it says he drove man out, and the Bible says, and they headed eastward. Right in verse 24, they sent them out and they head east. And that's interesting too. The moving eastward is, in the Bible, speaks of the way of judgment. When Cain killed his brother Abel, the Bible says he headed east. In Babylon, where they built this tower, says they head east. They headed east. So there's something with that meaning in the Bible there too. So where are you? Where are you? The first question posed in the New Testament. The first question posed in the New Testament is Matthew 2:2. It's the wise men going to Herod. And their question was, where is he? Wow. So where are you will eventually lead, as God seeks people, to where is he? Because we know we don't have nothing within ourselves, and there's so much emptiness within our heart. And we go to the tree of good and not evil to try to find this missing element within man's heart. And we always come up empty. We always fall into our old sin. This is why a man continues to keep doing the same cycle over and over without getting results. Because we believe it's what I need. But we must come to the point where is he? Where is he? John 1:45, Philip to Nathanael, we have found him. Another question. We have found him. We have found him. And that's pretty interesting. Because we can only know who he is when we find him. We can't. We only know who we are when we find him. We don't even know ourselves as well. We don't know even what we're made of. We have some ideas of personality traits, but that's not even knowing who you are until you know him. There was a gentleman that went to Moody, and he says, "Hey, have you found Jesus?" In which Moody replied, "I never knew he was missing." And that's it. It's not Christ who's lost. Mm-hmm. It's we are who are lost. Mm-hmm. He don't need to be found because he's eternal. But we are the ones who are lost. We are the ones that need to be found. When you think of salvation, well, when you think of the power of salvation, the power that can save a man, a power that can deliver a man, the power that can forgive, the power that can set people free. It's an amazing power. It's salvation. It's deliverance. It even is holiness and righteousness and sanctification. It's justification. It's all of that. But it's the power to save. And we believe in that power to save, but we don't believe in the power to keep. I don't get that. It doesn't make sense. We believe he can save a sinner, which is a great miracle, but we don't believe he can keep us. And when we say that God can't keep us, we believe in evil is greater than God's power. And it becomes an idol that... Boy, it was wonderful to get saved. But because I did something after I got saved, he can't keep me. And boy, is that a trip on the mind. Because Satan is flooding you with your past and your evil, saying you can never stay with God because look what you have done. And it puts this major emphasis on evil and the inability of this amazing creation to be able to keep who he saved. If we saved ourselves, then you're right. But you had nothing to do with it. He sought you out. He saved you. By grace you are saved through faith, not of your works. There's nothing you have done. This is all a work of God because this amazing love for you. And I love coming across people that believes that they, I got saved a long time ago, but he don't want me no more. Mm-hmm. You show me verses because you are really twisting that. But this is how Satan gets into one's mind. You know, when Noah built the ark, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the sight of God amongst a world of evil. It's the tree of good and evil. Evil is present. Evil is all around us, and it will be all around us. And this is why we rejoice in the saving and the keeping power of Jesus Christ, because he's taking us out of that evil. He has took us right out, boop, popped us right into the presence of God. And we can experience that. We don't have to live in evil or the effects of evil. Going back and saying and not forgiving yourself for something you've done in the past it is evil. Yeah. Because it does not line up with God's word. Hey, I'm not saying that you can truly forget it. God did. But we have a problem with that for some, you know, and we do, because our mind loves to continue to think about it, how bad that was. But Hebrews 8, he's removed that from his mind, and he thinks no evil of it, but we do. And that stops us, and it keeps us inoperable for the kingdom of God and for the plan of God. And we will make excuses why we can't follow God because of our past, because of this evil, and even in this present evil, You've heard, oh, it's so hard. You know, it is in your flesh. It's not hard. It's impossible. You know, but think about this. Moses, 40 years on the backside of the mountain, Moses killed a man and retreated, did evil. That was a great evil. It was evil. It was evil. But as God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel, it's stated that there was no wasted time. You know, 40 years on the backside doing nothing, pouting, hiding himself, removing himself. And God said, none of it was wasted. Every moment was not evil. You know, even though the act was. But God was doing this amazing work of making Moses the meekest man. You know, and we look at this evil and we cringe at it, you know, but also sometimes it stops us from going even stronger and going on with God. You know, evil will never win out. Evil will never win out. 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causes us to triumph. Yeah. Always. You look at your life, you look at things, and you say, boy, I keep on failing, I keep on doing this. And you know what? We call that, we look at ourselves and, well, what a waste of my life. Mm-hmm. No, not one moment of it is wasted. Every part of it is so precious to God. And he'll always cause you to triumph. That's the promise. Don't live in the evil effect. Don't live in the evil mindset. Live in the promise of he will always cause you to triumph. In Genesis chapter 39. Jacob had 12 sons. They ended up becoming the 12 tribes of Israel. 11 of those sons formed an alliance together and sold Joseph into slavery, into bondage. Joseph was in bondage. People say, hey, how were they in bondage in Egypt for 400 years before Moses delivered them? How did they get to that point? It's because their own sold their own. They put themselves in it. They put themselves in bondage by selling one of the brothers. And you look at all that circumstance. And 17 years in prison, and 17 years being lied to, and nobody coming forward, and 17 years of that, and you could look at that and say, boy, my life was wasted. And because of what took place, but there was no wasted time with Joseph.
Wow, yeah.
Not one day was wasted. It says, and God was with Joseph. And God was with Joseph. And God was the intention evil? Very. Very evil. Very demonic. But you know what? How do you look at that? Do you look at your life and say, boy, I wasted it here and wasted it there, and I shouldn't have done this, and I wish I could take that back. But you know what? God says every moment, every single moment was never wasted. He always causes us to triumph. Say that to your neighbor. He always causes us to triumph. Triumph is victory. We have this amazing victory in Christ. We might look at it as an evil situation or an evil plan or an evil idea or an evil act. Or participating from the tree of evil. But every moment of it was allowed by God for one purpose, to bring you closer to Him. Because He's seeking you, and He's going after you, and He's looking for you. Whatever it is, whatever breakdown you had, whatever difficulty in marriage or children or whatever, whatever the circumstance, God says that time is not wasted. It was a preparation. That's what He did with Moses. This is what He did with Abraham. Abraham did the child, the father of faith of Israel, slept with the maidservant. Evil against his, you know, while he was married. And 25 years he waited for a promise, and that promise never came. So he tried to fulfill it in his own flesh. And even that time, God said, was not wasted. That's amazing how He looks at it and how we look and analyze and come to a conclusion, or will make a conclusion of other people even. To say that, boy, they can never come to God. Their life is so far away, and boy, is that a lie. Just those thoughts are thoughts of evil and actions of evil and words of evil. And He forgives us. Look at this. Let's turn in Genesis. So evil is never greater than the power of God. Never. Never greater than God's power. I mean, you can read the end of the book. Satan and evil do not win. You know? Look at this. This is amazing. Genesis 50. Last book of Genesis ends with the death of Joseph, by the way. And I love this. I love these two verses. This should set you free from anything on this in bondage. In verse 19, now remember what's going on is all the brothers are now reunited with Joseph. And he wants to see Jacob. And this all takes place. And then Jacob dies. And the brothers say, this is what Joseph was waiting for. He was just waiting for Dad to die. Now he's going to get even with this revenge because of what we did. And look at the mindset. Look at the mindset of the one that... And God was with Joseph. And God, all these times in prison, he could have complained. He could have said that this wasn't right. This isn't fair. Life's not fair. He could have pointed himself as being a victim. Never be a victim. You are not a victim. You are not part of the system. That is not you. Don't claim it. Don't name it. Forsake it and go on and be triumphant. You know, walk and be in, allow Him to cause you to triumph over all that. Because that is not who the Christian is. We don't depend upon the world or the world system. We are part of the children of God. He has called us out of the world and placed us into His marvelous light. We are not part of that kingdom. And we don't think with that kingdom. So Joseph's brothers believe that Joseph is now going to get even. And in verse 19, look what Joseph says to him. Joseph said unto him, fear not, don't fear. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going after you. I'm not going to make it even. I'm not going to do an eye for an eye. I'm not going to get even with you. He says, because I am in the place of God. Is that amazing?
Yeah.
What a confession. You know, we want to get even with when people cause us harm. Look how Joseph did it. I'm in the place of God. I am in his place. I am in his presence. I am amongst his people. I receive from God. I have fellowship with God. I have made this right. I have given this problem to God. He says, but as for you, you know, this is something you've got to be in that presence too. I have learned to forgive you. I have learned to forget all that. I am not going to allow what you did to affect me no more. I am not going to hold that grudge. I am not going to even talk about it no more because I am in the presence of God. Wow. But as for you, you need to settle that by yourself. What you did, you intended it for evil. But God intended it for good. Can you say that in your life? Can you say things that affected you or somebody is really hurting you or wounded you? Are you allowed to say that? Can you say they might have intended it for evil? But God's got a plan even in this. God is going to deliver me even in this. God is going to cause me to triumph even what I have gone through. We don't need to live into those effects no more. We look for every moment, even the hard things, even the difficult things, even the setbacks, even the pain and the hurt and the mistreatment and the abuse, even the abuse, mental, physical, all of that. And you look and say, God, I don't know how God can mean that for good, especially when you're going through it. And you have people here and we're never saying those things are of God because it is pure evil. But there is help for that situation. But as we go forward, we do need to forgive it and forget it and say, wow, what does God teach him in this? God maybe drew you in that situation. Sometimes those are the only times that he can get your attention. And it's scary to think of that. And we don't have those answers. But I do know this. Whatever you went through, Satan intended it for evil. Yeah. To put you completely out. Right. And God is going to do a complete reversal because of his sovereign grace. And he is going to intend it for good. Amen. Now look at this last verse and we'll close. Look at this. God meant it right in verse 20. God meant it to good. Now look at the next verse because we don't quote this and this is incredible. Look at this. He says, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. Look at this. To bring to pass as it is this day. God is bringing everything right into the present for this day, for this purpose. Hey, when I was going through it, it was very difficult. I didn't understand it. I didn't know why. But I did know God was with me. Because that's a promise of his word. That he'll never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. And he brought it to pass to this day. Look at this. To save much people alive. Wow. In 17 years of being in prison, and that prison is any prison that you have gone through in yourself, whatever bondage, whatever prison, whatever demonic evil was against you, God brought that all to this day, that people will be saved. Wow. By what God did, not what the evil did. It's what God's doing in our life. It's what God is making us, and he is conforming us to the image of Christ through every process that the enemy fought it for evil. God said, that's evil. Definitely. Watch this turn around. Watch what I'm going to do in your life. Starting from this day forward and going forward, many will be saved by the attempt of evil to causing you to triumph in the grace of God, in the love of God, in the mercy of God. And now we get to know God, not the evil. We don't know the evil. And that evil is going to continue to come until Christ comes back. And you might be forced in other situations of evil in your life, but they are not going to keep us down. Amen. They are not going to defeat us. We are going to thank God for that. We're going to thank God for it. We're going to rejoice in it. And we're going to say, wow, I can't wait to be triumphant in this situation. Because Satan meant it for evil, but God has meant it for good.
Wow.
Amen. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your amazing love that you cause all of us to triumph in victory. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. Not because of us, but because of Christ. He has defeated death. He has defeated the evil one. We have victory because of Christ Jesus. And he will always, 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 always cause us to triumph. That is a promise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Lord, we just pray for the offering. Pray for missions. Pray for the gospel to go forth. I cannot wait to get back out in the streets. I am like Jones, and I need to get out in the streets to talk to people about the love and what Christ has done. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.